This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Can they freeze his assets right now with these forfeiture allegations? Just say, okay, look, we're intending on taking all of this. Yeah. We fully believe you are going to be found guilty. Obviously, yes. If you're acquitted, unfrozen, it's back to you. But right now, I mean, let's just say it is frozen, okay, which I'm sure it probably will be if it's not already right now. That's got to impact him a bit in terms of being able to afford attorneys, representation to the level that he has been, or just anything else that's going on out there. I mean, supporting his family or whoever he's supporting, all that, I'm going to imagine, comes to a grinding halt, other than things that they can't get their hands on, like an offshore account or something of that nature.
Yeah, I mean, his attorneys will be fighting the freezing of all the assets, obviously, and they're going to certainly be arguing that we have to get paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like, we're not in here on a charity thing. Yeah. So we're not pro bono on this case, you know. And as far as, you know, the rest of his family and all those that have to be taken care of, the court's going to be like, well, you know, tough shit.
Yeah.
Like, welcome to the rest of the world.
Yeah.
You know, welcome to how regular people live. You know, but I mean, that stuff will all be litigated. And like I said, it's not necessarily litigated in this particular courtroom with this particular judge. I mean, typically it's handled in forfeiture court, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a different proceeding. So, you know, those will be really interesting to follow as those are kind of progressing through. But yeah, I mean, they certainly can freeze his assets. I mean, they do it all the time.
Yeah. Do you think that will hinder his ability, really to continue going forward with the level of defense that he's going with? Like you said, we're not doing this pro bono, but if he can't guarantee a payday for anybody, what do you do?
Well, if his lawyers were smart, and they are, mm-hmm. You're getting your retainer.
You already got it.
Massive upfront.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that money may have already been spent or been given.
Right. This isn't a case where you're like billable hours. And that's not to say that they can't come back and say, okay, well, you know, we worked longer and harder than we thought we were going to have to.
Yeah.
Your whole mandate that we have to work 24 hours a day, well, that costs you more. So, I mean, but going into it in criminal cases, you always try to get your fees up front in terms of the retainer. So I'm sure they've been well paid thus far.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I'm sure that they were anticipating that there were going to be superseding indictments as well. So, you know, I mean, skilled and experienced attorneys that handle these types of matters are going to know kind of going into it, like, look, this is what it's going to run you, man. You know, and it's for these reasons that it's going to run you this much. And I imagine he cut those checks pretty quick.
Yeah, I would imagine so. Let's talk about the fact that we have another superseding indictment here. After the first indictment, the floodgates kind of came open in terms of all of the civil allegations. A lot of people finally felt safe to tell their story, more so after he was arrested, because we had, you know, they were investigating, indictment comes down, he gets arrested. And then once he was finally behind bars, a lot of people started coming forward. I'm wondering if this second round is going to encourage others who have not yet come forward, maybe still some fear there. I would likely think there probably would be a lot of fear there. I mean, I don't know that I've been one of the first ones to come forward against Diddy, seeing what allegations there are out there of him or his minions silencing people in various ways. But now this is another layer behind that first indictment. Do you think we're going to see more people coming forward here again, kind of in a windfall in the next handful of days or weeks, now that we have this new layer to it?
I would think so. But like you said, you know, there's going to be a certain segment of people that are still not comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? It's like his reach is pretty profound in terms of what they're thinking that he's capable of, even behind bars, you know, and knowing that every phone call is monitored knowing that when he has visitors, that those visits are being monitored. I mean, essentially, the only time that he's ever able to speak to anybody in confidence is his attorneys. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and attorneys have an ethical duty to follow the law. So he, you know, I mean, it would be tough for him to give directions in terms of handling issues outside of the walls of the prison. Does that mean he can't be done? No.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's done all the time. But like, I don't know, man. Like, I think that the more that they keep throwing up there in terms of those walls you're talking about, I think that the safer people will feel, you know, and they're also sitting in rooms with federal agents and U.S. attorneys that are giving them, you know, probably pretty strong feelings about, look, we feel very, very strong about this case. Like, mm-hmm. this guy's going down on that. So they're getting reassurances, but you know, it's like with this dude, man. And like, it's the people that were in that world that saw him get away with so much shit mm-hmm. for so long that are probably still like, man, I hear what you're saying to me, but, you know, you're dealing with this dude, man. And this dude just has a tendency to be able to skate on shit.
Yeah.
You know, and it's going to be really interesting, man. I mean, imagine them picking a jury in this thing, you know, and it's like, I guarantee you there are still people out there that love this guy.
Yeah.
You know, for the music that he's produced and the beats that he's made, just like he added value to their lives. He's going to have supporters out there, and you know, picking a jury in this thing is going to be tough because because there's going to be people like, oh, well, the guy had fucking like weirdo parties and, mm-hmm. you know, big fucking deal. You know what I mean? It's like, yeah. where they're just not kind of looking at the, you know, just how raunchy and scary these parties really were,
yeah.
in terms of having dominion and control over people. You know, they're just not looking at it like that, and they should be, but they're not.
Yeah.
So like the whole thing is fascinating, man. It's like, I gotta be honest, like you're covering it probably as much as anybody out mm-hmm. there that, and like, I haven't been covering it as much, but the more I get into it, like it's an unbelievable case.
Yeah.
It's, unbelievable case, man.
It is. I will say this about people's love for Diddy, and if we compare it to the last RICO case that we've seen against a celebrity, a music artist, R. Kelly would be the one that comes to mind. There we saw, still to this day, there's still a lot of people that are behind R. Kelly. And R. Kelly, I mean, he was a superstar, but he wasn't as big as Diddy. But I would say this is just my take on it. I feel like there are far more people who are still, they'd be fine if R. Kelly came back and started touring again versus Diddy. I feel like the pool of supporters of Diddy is pretty small compared to something of that of R. Kelly. Do you agree?
I don't know, man.
Like, I don't see it publicly. I don't see it the way we saw it with R. Kelly, where there was constant support.
We're not going to see it until the trial starts.
Well, I mean, just vocally, just as a whole, just the community out there that, you know, once, you know, loved the music. R. Kelly's support still exists to this day. We don't see a lot of people being super vocal about supporting Diddy.
Well, I think that the kind of the inner circle mm-hmm. hated the guy.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that it went out like in concentric circles, like even further and further. Like, I think anybody that had to deal with him personally, because he really was a tyrant.
Yeah.
You know, he really, really was. Like, yeah. this guy, like, you don't make that kind of money and have that kind of power by being a super swell guy.
You
just don't. It's not how it works in a capitalist society. You've got to be a cutthroat son of a bitch to make that kind of money in this world. And, you know, and again, like, once that power starts kind of floating your way and you're grabbing it and you get the taste for it, You know, like I think that everybody, but I mean, I'm kind of talking about the world in general.
Yeah.
Like I don't know what the temperature is because I'm talking about a potential jury pool.
Okay.
I'm talking about the potential for, you know, them getting three jurors on there that love Diddy and have always loved Diddy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they end up getting mistrial after mistrial because they can't put 12 people in that box from the place where that guy grew up. And, you know, for all that he's done for black culture up until now, you know,
I don't know. I don't know if I agree on that. My gut tells me that.
I mean, dude, like, you know, R. Kelly wasn't even in the same fucking.
No, I agree.
Wasn't in the same galaxy. He was like 50 notches below, as big as he was.
Yeah.
Like Diddy was like massively bigger.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
It's not even close, dude.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.